Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast with your host, Evan McElwain.
Welcome back to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast. I'm Evan McElwain, Bowery Capital's Director of Growth, and this week we are joined by Sarah Dowdy, founder of Crescendo Labs, to talk about the importance of marketing for customer success. Great to have you on the show, Sarah.
Thanks, Evan. It's great to be here.
So, Sarah, tell us more about you, your background, and the current company that you're building, Crescendo Labs.
Yeah, certainly. Thanks, Evan. So over the past decade about, I have been a part of early stage organizations. Most cases, what I do is I come in and I've built out customer success teams for those organizations and then helped move them through the process into more of that scale stage. And at my last company, I did that same thing, came in, formed the customer success team, helped it through those growth stages. But what was unique about that role is over time, I also took over what we called at that organization, account management. So I felt really fortunate because I got to see both sides of that client coin in a way. I got to see the customer success side of it, but also really be the person accountable for the renewal and expansion revenue side of that as well. So after moving through that organization and having that role for nearly a decade, I decided that I felt that there was a bit of a gap in the market's understanding of what customer success was. I think in many early stage, especially organizations, it's still really seen as a service and support function for an organization. And maybe this is my background that has led me to this conclusion, but I really believe that it can be a significant growth driver for an organization. You've got a set of people within customer success that are building great trusted relationships with your clients, but oftentimes they don't know how to leverage that trust and that relationship that they've built to help drive renewals, help drive expansion revenue. And if you do that the right way, if you upskill your team and develop your processes to really take advantage of that position and that partnership you're building, it can lead to really productive growth and higher enterprise values for an organization. So that's why I formed Crescendo Labs, because I feel that there's a need in the market to do those things well and help customer success be seen in that light. And you know, my hope and vision for the company is that we help just elevate the voice of customer success in SaaS B2B organizations.
Great. Yeah, no, I love that. And as we were talking about previously, I am starting to see that shift of folks talking about customer success really through that revenue lens and customer success leaders standing up and saying, hey, we are real revenue drivers and critical revenue drivers, especially when you think about SaaS and subscription and how much renewals and upsells end up making up your overall revenue. So I really love that's the approach you're taking, and that's what you all are championing. One quick follow-up question I have for you there, Sarah, is you mentioned customer success and account management. To me, these are terms that often get thrown around, sometimes even interchangeably. And I would love to just set the record straight for founders that are starting to think through their overall kind of revenue side of the org. How should they be thinking about these different buckets? What do these different, you know, terms actually mean in terms of their definition? And do they often get combined when you think about maybe early stage versus a little bit later stage?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the question around that terminology and those definitions is one of the reasons that it is hard for folks to have a common understanding of what customer success is. When I say customer success, to me, that means the combination of creating great experiences for your customer and also great outcomes for your customer. So if you imagine the path and the life cycle that your customer takes as they become aware of and engage and sign on with your company and then have a long-term relationship with them, think of that like a journey. And so your customer success team is really the stewards of your customer through that journey. But in that journey, they're also accountable for making sure that that customer is getting positive outcomes out of their partnership with you. Sometimes in organizations, you'll find that that role is called account management, or it might be separate from a team called account management. Personally, when I think of account management, I think of that as the group that has commercial responsibility for the customers. So they're actually managing the renewals or they're managing expansion sales to a customer. So it can really vary organization by organization, whether or not different parts of those roles and responsibilities fall within customer success for a particular client segment or are separate. Things like the complexity of your product or the maturity of your organization, just the size of your organization, can really adjust how you define that for your company. I think in later stage organizations, if you have the resources available, it is best, especially for your enterprise customers, to separate those two roles because it can be less of a conflict of interest for your clients, you know, not to have success be driven by one group that's also going to be asking you for higher revenues later on. And it can also help keep things more streamlined in terms of being proactive on the customer success side.
Okay, that's super clear and is very helpful, especially as we continue this conversation around how customer success works with marketing and how these kind of roles delineate within different orgs. And interesting to hear that. So in a more sophisticated, a more mature organization, how, especially serving enterprise customers with complex products, having customer success and account management sounds like often makes a lot of sense, keeping them separate. And then earlier stage, sometimes if you don't have as many customers or there aren't as many renewals to worry about, then some of those contractual obligations will sit somewhere between customer success and sales, depending on the org and the people that they have.
And it's kind of a triangle too, right? Because sales is a part of that too. You know, so sometimes you'll see organizations might combine or merge certain activities between customer success and account management. Sometimes that merging happens more on purely the commercial side between sales and account management. So every company is a touch different in how they might approach moving from those very early stages to building out different teams that have core responsibilities.
And Sarah, before we dig into our topic for today, one thing we always like to ask is, what is one thing that no one listening to this podcast will know about you?
Well, a very long time ago in the early days of my career, back when I was consulting, I, you know, had a little bit of an entrepreneurial bug and I started a candy company that lasted all of about 6 months because I was starting to not enjoy candy anymore. So that's a little fun fact.
What kind of candy was it?
I did caramels and truffles and I sold them primarily like to folks having events, corporate events or things like that.
So still a very much a B2B angle. Very cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Sarah, I'm excited to dive into this topic with you today. We hear a ton about the importance of marketing and sales being aligned, making sure they're working together, collaborating on the same page, especially as you've seen this rise of account-based marketing where marketing gives you their cover and sales, you know, goes in more with kind of the spear, quote unquote. And there's a huge emphasis there on how they need to collaborate to drive success and revenue for companies. But there seems to, at least from me, there seems to be way less attention paid to the relationship between marketing and customer success. So I'd love to just start there. You know, why do you think that is? Is that perception reality? What's your take?
I think that perception is reality. And I think it's shifting a little bit, but I think it's just a real legacy concept. And part of, I think, what drives that is that part of what we were talking about before, where when you think about sales, yes, your sales process is going to vary from company to company. But at a high level, it's going to be fairly standard, right? There's going to be, you know, a process that you work through, a funnel that you work through. And so it's just a very common thing to think about how does marketing support at least the early stages of supporting that funnel. And I think another reason that drives that is the need, because bringing in new business is very hard and it's expensive for a company. And so to have a sales team do that on their own would be really, really difficult without the support of a function that's very one-to-many, like marketing is. So I think there's that side of it. I think, though, that another piece of it is that many organizations might not think of a renewal or doing more with a client as a sale. They might think of that as an extension of the relationship, or they might think of it as a sale subconsciously, but don't put as much rigor around it as they do with a new sale. And because of that, might not see the importance of applying marketing to that process. And And some of that might stem from the fact that I think when companies think of their client base, they rely too much on individual relationships. And this isn't specific to client success. I mean, this happens in late stages of a sales cycle too, but you start to have part of your process where you're focused on individuals and you start to take the gas off of some of those marketing activities that build broader awareness, that build awareness across different buyer personas and build buyer cohesion. Because now that you're at the late stage or now that they're a client, you're focused on, well, what does Sally, you know, what does Sally and Bob talk about? You know, you're kind of relying on that individual relationship too much, in my opinion. And so you take the foot off the gas of marketing and don't think of the need of it in the same way.
So it sounds like a lot of this is just legacy, out of date thinking, and that people need to really take a fresh approach and have a fresh perspective and recognize that they need to be devoting the same type of rigor and thoughtfulness into retaining and upselling their current revenue base, which as we all know, it's certainly cheaper to keep revenue than it is to acquire new revenue. So I think it makes a ton of sense that this should be top of mind for folks if they're not thinking about it already.
Yeah, I think it should be. And another component of that is that if you're going to rely on individuals to maintain those customer relationships and grow those customer relationships, then all of a sudden it becomes really hard to do sales. And it takes away your ability to be proactive, to stay on top of things, because your list of to-dos is just getting bigger and bigger. And I love that, you know, marketing is a one-to-many function. It can touch a lot of different folks by putting certain things out into the market. And so let's leverage that so that you take the stress off of individuals in your company. So especially as you scale, I think introducing marketing into your existing client base is really important.
And when we say marketing, what teams are we really talking about here? You know, is this marketing across the board? Are we including product marketing in this bucket? What's your take there?
That's a really great question, Evan. I think when I talk about it, primarily I'm talking about it as, you know, your just traditional organizational and brand marketing, your general marketing team. But I think it is important to have a really deliberate application of your product marketing resources as well, because, you know, it's really all about building awareness. And what you're building awareness around, it is a few different things. There's the awareness of your value proposition, but it's also awareness of potential use cases and product capabilities and how to translate the use of your solution into that value proposition that you talk about. So I think it takes both sides of marketing, both the general organizational and brand marketing, but then also product marketing too.
And so next, I want to peel back some of the layers and get a bit more granular on customer success and some of the different motions that are happening within it. For me, when I think about a customer success, especially within a B2B SaaS context, I think about it in a couple different buckets. You know, on the one side, you've got user adoption, engagement, making sure that the end users are actually using the product, getting value out of it, driving ROI. And then the second bucket is more of the relationship management side of things, you know, making sure that you've got clear line to your stakeholders, those key executives that, or maybe this budget is coming from, that really care about this problem that you're solving. And, you know, these are clearly intertwined, as you typically need a strong relationship and exec engagement to help then drive product adoption and user engagement. But those seem to be the two main tracks based on my own experience in B2B SaaS. Is this the right way for us to orient ourselves around customer success for the purposes of today's discussion, or is there a better construct we should be using?
I think it is the right concept. I think of it as two different pieces. I think about it as customer outcomes, you know, so what value and ROI and positive business impact is your customer getting from your partnership? That's the reason they made the investment in the first place, and they need to see that impact in order to confirm that they should continue that partnership. But the other piece of it is the customer experience. And this is the steps and stages that you take your customer through from the time they become aware of you to the time you acquire the customer, through onboarding, through ongoing relationship management, through renewal. But what you want to do when you think about that customer experience is you don't want to think of it at the company level. You kind of want to break it out for the different personas that are there at your customer. So as you said, and this is where the relationship piece that you mentioned comes into it, because you're going to have your executive sponsors and your, or your decision makers, that set of stakeholders involved, and what is their experience through that journey with you, all the way through, you know, to your user community and what's their experience with your solution. And then depending on what your solution is and how you engage with your clients, there's going to be folks in the middle, you know, so maybe there's complementary teams like IT or legal that might need to have some sort of perception of your relationship and the experience with you as a partner. It could be project managers who are managing the onboarding process from the client side. So that'll vary a little bit, but you want to think about those different personas as you define and build out your customer experience, your customer journey, because it's important what all of those stakeholders feel and think of when they think of you as a partner.
Right. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. And I think when people think of persona, you know, in the sales process, they think, okay, who are going to be the key buyers? When you think about it from a product standpoint, you're thinking, okay, what are my different user personas? Maybe there's different use cases, but you bring up another really good point that there are other personas that maybe from a marketing and customer success collaboration standpoint, you need to be on the lookout for, whether it's IT, whether it's legal, whether it's other folks that are involved in implementation that also need to have a positive perception of you, your company, and your experience and the value you're providing, because you need them to get bought in so that this can be successful.
Yes, you're exactly right. And I think that that's a skill that customer success often doesn't think of as their job, and they probably aren't very comfortable or good at it either. You know, folks talk a lot in sales cycles about building buyer cohesion, you know, and it's hard for organizations to make purchase decisions these days. You have to have a lot of people bought in. Customers do a lot of research ahead of time, so you're having to educate a lot of people and differentiate for a lot of people. You have to continue doing that after the initial sale. And that doesn't mean that you're meeting with all of those stakeholders on a weekly basis or biweekly basis, but this is part of why marketing is important, because how are you presenting your brand, not just in general, but your brand as a partner to all of those different stakeholder groups? What are the communications they're getting? You know, what are the insights that they're getting that help them just have an awareness that you're actually a partner? Because depending on their investment level, you could fly fairly under their radar potentially. So you want to build that awareness. You want to share those stories. You want to make it kind of a non-issue when that renewal or you're asked to do more with them comes up, because they're hearing and aware of the benefit you're realizing for their company.
That makes a lot of sense. So I want to dig in here a little bit more, Sarah. Let's talk about the status quo. So what do we normally see today inside SaaS startups? Curious to hear, what's the relationship between marketing and customer success? How do they typically interact, collaborate, and coordinate their efforts? And we can touch on both of those tracks that we were just discussing. One that's, you know, more focused on the end user, the other one that's focused on some of the stakeholders and those key relationships. Would love to just get the lay of the land of what you typically see inside of companies today.
Sure. I think it depends a little bit on the stage of the company. So if you're talking about very early stage, where you're in very early startup mode, you might still be proving elements of your product market fit. You might be getting your processes down. I don't want to say unfortunately, because I think this is completely manageable, but you just won't have marketing focused on existing customers. You will have that potentially focused on bringing prospects in and converting customers, but you just probably won't have the resources to focus on existing customers. And so what will happen is your customer success team professionals will need to conduct, you know, communications and feedback loops and things like that on their own. And so ideally, you know, if you're in that really early stage and you're small enough, it can be a really collaborative environment where you're taking things that you're doing from a marketing perspective to new clients and giving the CSM team or the customer success team resources to be able to share that information in a way that is aligned with your brand. But you probably aren't going to have somebody focused on just existing customer marketing.
So for the early stage, we've got small, scrappy teams. you likely won't have marketing giving that much focus to existing customers. However, as a best practice, you can potentially repurpose some of the stuff that they're already doing for sales, maybe make a couple tweaks and make it relevant for existing customers today.
Yes.
Got it. Right. Okay, cool. And then what about for some of the later stage companies?
So once you start to grow a bit and have additional members of your marketing team, then you're probably starting to do, maybe you won't have resources dedicated to existing customers, but you're probably starting to have some collateral and messaging focused on existing customers. So that could even be things around, you know, more formal communication around product releases. You might start putting on webinars that can be done across your client base. So there's going to start to be activities that happen from a marketing perspective. But I would say what often happens is while those activities are going on, it's not really a program around marketing to your existing customers in a frequent and consistent way.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. So there's some activities that are happening, but it's not some big cohesive strategy and game plan mm-hmm. for how we're actually going to market to our existing customers to help either account management, sales, CS, whoever's owning the renewals, upsells, and overall success of those accounts.
Right.
Is there a even more evolved stage that we should tackle, or should we kind of leave it with those two?
Well, I think then you start to get into what is more ideal, and this doesn't always happen, but I think it just starts to pile on. I mean, really, if we're talking about the status quo, you start to have a lot of activities that happen, webinars, you'll, you know, maybe have market insights, a blog, different things that you're putting out there. And you might even have some training for your customer success team or account management team on how to leverage those resources with existing clients. But oftentimes it's really not a program that gets applied.
Got it. So would love to now dive deeper into what that dream scenario looks like. You know, what does best practice look like? What should companies be aiming for? And what does the relationship between success and marketing look like in that world?
Yeah. So ideal state is that you have a product marketer and somebody within your marketing team that's dedicated to existing accounts. And I believe that that role should be somebody who sits in the marketing team versus somebody who sits on the customer success team, because there's just so many programmatic types of things that are important to apply to that function that, you know, sitting in the marketing house, you're just going to have exposure to those programmatic things they're doing for the new sales side, and you can apply that. So I think it should sit in that group. And then I believe that a program for existing accounts should be built. And that will go through steps like building out what are our personas for our existing clients. And then what I found to work really well in the past is having two cadences defined to market to those personas. And one should be more of a calendar cadence, you know, that ties into themes that are important for your industry and can offer seasonality and variability throughout that, like for how you're doing webinars, how you're doing different events, how you, you know, it should fit in with your conference schedule, different things like that. But then I think the second cadence should be client journey based. So when a client is new, maybe you're doing a welcome kit, or maybe you're doing these kinds of things to welcome them into the onboarding steps. When they go live with your platform, you're doing these steps with the different personas. When you're this amount of time in, you're doing these steps. So I think your program should really set up those two cadences, one that's calendar and one that's client journey based. And then what I've seen also work well is with the calendar cadence, if you can stick to themes for a monthly basis, let's say, that's really great. And you want to build supporting collateral for those themes, because you're going to do things from a marketing perspective, but you also want to make sure that you're allowing people within your organization who touch the clients on a regular basis to have things that they can use to still do personal outreach, right? So you'll want to build your theme and then have a handful of supporting pieces that tie into that theme that a customer success manager could bring to an operational meeting or bring to a QBR, or, you know, just send in an email and it'll tie in because it's related to that theme to what's happening in the calendar cadence. And then I think another thing that's just important is looking at your customer journey and what are the things you're trying to do in that journey to create a great experience for your customer. And are there opportunities where you could programatize it or automate certain steps in that with your marketing team so that an individual isn't having to do that? So I think those are kind of the main things. And then outside of that customer journey, I think a great thing for customer marketing to do is to manage the events that are happening with your customers. And all of that should really tie back to goals. And maybe I should have started with that because I think it's really easy in marketing to create a lot of content and do a lot of things and feel busy and feel like you're accomplishing something. But it's important to identify here are the goals that we have for applying marketing to our customers. You know, and that could be, I want to bring on more users, or I want to have our users do more activity in our platform, or, you know, I want to increase the breadth of the features that are being used, whatever it might be. But define that goal and then build those cadences, build that collateral, build your programs around that, because you should be measuring the folks that engage with our marketing. Are they doing the things that we wanted them to based on the goals that we have?
Totally. And it sounds like such obvious common sense advice, but it's amazing how easy it is to miss that step. And then you get a couple months in and you've been doing all these activities and you've been really busy and you know, and you're feeling like you're doing a lot, but you're not actually looking at your results through an objective lens. You know, you're looking at however many people downloaded that webinar or, you know, attended XYZ event. And you're saying, well, not too bad. That's pretty good. Versus had you set those goals ahead of time, it's very black and white. Did that meet expectations or not? Which what I found really gives a lot of clarity to leaders when they're trying to figure out what to tweak, what to double down on, and how to iterate over time.
Yeah. Well, and marketing's really good at that, right? Because, you know, marketing is so data driven, and especially in the new sales side. I mean, you've got your funnel, you've got your close rates, you've got your conversion metrics. I mean, marketing is used to looking at data in that way. So have the same expectation with your existing customers. You know, what's the engagement level? Does that engagement level convert to the activity that you're looking for it to? And it's a great opportunity with existing clients to do some of that A/B testing too. I mean, that's marketing's great at that experimentation to drive results and take pressure off of individuals in the organization to help your clients do more with your solution.
So let's get into a little bit of the how-to. And you've alluded to a couple of the steps here, you know, needing to set goals, needing to clarify your personas, build out these cadences. But I'd love to really get into some of the tactics around it so that folks can action it. Are there a set of steps, best practices, frameworks, processes, whatever you'd like to call it, that folks can lean on to transform how marketing and success are working together?
Well, it might not be possible for every organization to dedicate a member of their marketing team to existing clients, but I think it would be helpful if you could at least carve out a portion of a team member's time to focus in that effort, because your personas will be different and your messaging will be different. So to dedicate a portion of somebody's time and put accountability for those goals on a member of the team, I think is important. But then I think another really beneficial exercise, if you haven't done this, is to do a client journey map. Or maybe you did it and it's been 12 months, and especially at growth stage companies, I mean, you kind of need to revisit your client journey because your organization is changing so quickly. So I would really emphasize doing that journey mapping exercise. You don't want to have a bunch of individual contributors in that exercise, but you do want to have a cross-functional set of leaders involved to make sure that it's coordinated across those different stages that you're taking a client. You want alignment between your leadership team so that when you come back and you're asking for those resources, or you're trying to fit the marketing program for customers into everything else they're doing, everybody understands the why and the reasoning behind that. So that customer journey mapping is really important. It helps you identify what you need, where your gaps are, and where marketing versus individuals who are responsible for accounts should be taking care of certain steps. And then I think another thing that's really important is to sit down and think about what are those goals, because that'll kind of shape the specific activities you'll need to do for marketing. And, you know, maybe you don't have the bandwidth to do both of those cadences at once. Maybe you start with one. You do either the calendar or the client journey cadence. But if you've defined your goals, it'll kind of show you or lay out for you what are the right interactions, communications, and calls to action that you're trying to involve in the marketing that you're doing that lead to the results that you're looking for.
And Sarah, when you're talking about the importance of goals and really sitting down to think critically about what those should be, what are some examples of good goals? Because as customer success leaders and building up that part of the organization, we want to be very revenue focused, but revenue is also kind of the end result of all of these other, you know, activities that are living further up in the funnel. And who knows, maybe we have a longer sales cycle, maybe they're not up for renewal for a year. And so that feedback loop gets to be a little bit more drawn out. One, would love to hear just some ideas for what good goals look like. And two, how those goals map to different parts of the funnel so that we're getting as fast feedback as possible, but also tying ourselves to revenue as much as possible, which those things to me seem to work against each other.
Well, I'm a really big fan of having goals that are centered around what you want your clients, your customers to do with your solution. You know, so if, and this ties back to the revenue piece that you mentioned, Evan. So maybe that is, I want users to use our product more. So you're doing marketing that helps them know they should do more and why and all of those things. Maybe a goal is to get more users using your product. You're happy with the level current users are using it, but you want to get more people in. Sometimes moving off the volume KPI a little bit, we talk about stickiness and customer success around the different use cases that are being leveraged and the best value use cases. So maybe your goal isn't just volume or users, but it's helping users use the specific part of your platform that you know correlates with your best customers. Our best customers or our highest growth customers use our product in this way. So driving your customers to that use case might be really good. When you start to get beyond that, it can be a little harder to show a direct correlation between those marketing activities and the outcome. So if you're talking about, we want to improve our NPS score, or, you know, we want to improve churn. Like, there's just so many things that go into that. It's really hard to show a direct correlation between the marketing activities and the outcome that you're, even if it's a positive outcome, the outcome that you're seeing.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I love that. Just keeping it simple, going back to what do you want users to do with your solution to solve that problem? And then depending on which piece of that puzzle you're struggling with, you can build goals around it, whether that's getting more users to use it, whether it's getting your existing users to use it more, whether that's opening up different use cases and different features that you know have a high correlation with upsells and renewals. I love the point around trying to focus on some of these more tangible, measurable goals that have a higher correlation and a clear line of sight into revenue versus some of these more nebulous ones like NPS. Yeah. I think that's a really, really spot on point.
Yeah. Well, and starting there for sure, because then you can layer in eventually, like maybe some more marketing driven goals. Like, we want to have a higher volume of success stories or case studies, you know, but if you don't start with those core things that lead to value for your customers, it's going to be hard to get to those higher level things and start to hit those engagement metrics and goals that you might have. Like, start at the value for your customer. And then if you're doing the right things in terms of value for them, they're going to want to engage with you in those other things. And then you can maybe layer in, you know, we want more attendance at these events, or we want more case studies or that type of thing. You can start to layer in over time.
And so a follow-up question there, and maybe this is a bit of a moot point because you were just explaining what goals should look like and why those are important. But how do you know if it's all working? And how do you know if you're clicking in terms of marketing and customer success, and there's, you know, and you're succeeding together? How do you measure success of kind of the whole thing? I understand the more granular, you know, success metrics that you might build out around a specific program or cadence, but how do you know if you're doing it well?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think, you know, one of the things that you can do is just build trust and collaboration across your teams and get folks talking. And, you know, I mentioned, you know, it's a good idea to go back to your client journey mapping every once in a while, especially at an early stage company, like kind of going back and talking about those processes from an internal standpoint and asking what's working, what's not working, could be really valuable. Having your customer success leader and your marketing leader work closely together and be aligned in how you talk about the goals of those functions working together, I think is really important, because the teams will see that and start to feel it. And, you know, another thing that I think could be really helpful too is, you know, customer success always feels the strain. Like there's a lot of things you're doing to manage a client through their journey. You've got a lot of tactical and reactive things that can tend to pile up. So occasionally doing a bit of a time study, you know, to see where our customer success team members spending their time. And if there's buckets of reactive or less value add happening, ask the question, is this a good fit for marketing to be able to do something that starts to free that up, open time up for more proactive activities that are value added to the client? That could be a good exercise too. It maybe doesn't tell you what's working, what's not working, but it can tell you where you have opportunities to work better.
Got it. That's really helpful. And when you think about customer success, leveraging marketing successfully, you've mentioned some great tactics here, right? Creating a program, at least at the very least, carving out time within someone's schedule to make sure that they're dedicating enough time to customer success marketing activities. Are there any other things that you like to leverage to keep people on track, whether this is meeting cadences, whether there's some kind of checklist of different elements that folks should be focused on, making sure they're ticking every box, anything else that comes to mind that you think would help folks out here?
When we talked about those cadences earlier, I think creating a calendar around that can be really helpful. And it's something that a lot of marketing teams do, you know, on the new business side too. So, you know, creating that visibility to what those themes are and creating the visual for, these are the collateral pieces that I can use to go with that theme, or this is what I should expect is going to happen from a marketing perspective or behind the scenes with my customer as they go through the journey. That stuff really helps. And then I think a regular meeting between leadership of customer success and marketing. Maybe it doesn't have to be on a monthly basis, but maybe it's just a quarterly basis to revisit the goals and make sure that everybody's telling the same story to their team is really important. And then the folks spearheading the programs from both sides and fitting it into the client journey, those folks should be meeting on a fairly regular basis. Maybe it's every other week or once a month at least to make sure that from a tactics standpoint, everybody's on the same page about what's coming and just to avoid surprises.
And a couple final questions here, Sarah. I'm curious. So it sounds like the overarching theme here is we need to have very clear goals and then programs and strategies that are supporting those goals around how we're going to keep our stakeholders engaged, how we're going to be communicating effectively with our end users to make sure that we're getting them to complete the different actions and see the ROI that we know is possible. Is there anything sort of higher up or earlier on in the process, rather, that folks need to do to make sure that they're setting this whole thing up for success? And I guess what I'm getting at here is I've experienced situations where the expectations weren't set correctly up front, where the company was going to be sending a lot of direct communication to the end user and not going through the internal PR teams and comms team. And you see this a lot more with enterprise companies, right? Where they've got lots of vendors that they use and they don't want their employees just being constantly spammed, for lack of a better word. Is that something that we should be even touching on here? If so, what are some, you know, tips to get around that so that customer success has what they need from a client expectations and contractual standpoint so that they can actually collaborate with marketing and execute on this?
Yeah, that's a great question, Evan. So I think in a way, this goes back to the client journey mapping exercise and why I called out so specifically who should be involved with that, because you really do want your executive team being aligned on what that journey is. And that journey shouldn't be defined from your company's standpoint. It's a customer journey, right? So what are the feelings and thoughts and emotions that your customer personas are having during that experience? More isn't always more, right? So you want to make sure at the end of the day that it's a good experience for your customers you definitely want to communicate with them and build awareness, but that doesn't mean blasting emails to them every day. And it's multi-channel, it's multi-threaded, it's the right level of frequency. Those are all things that are really important. And, you know, so sometimes that might mean that a CSM is sharing something during a meeting or following up a meeting with an email that has insights to it. So it could be a lot of different things. And you definitely want to make sure that your leadership is involved with defining what that journey looks like so that everybody is on the right, on the same page. And people have a chance to voice that, like, this feels like too much for our customers, or this feels like we're bombarding them. You know, you want that representation so you're truly building that experience from the customer standpoint.
And lastly, Sarah, would love to hear about any common mistakes when it comes to customer success working with marketing. Where do people go astray when they try to action some of the things we've talked about today?
I think, you know, a really common mistake is not tying it back to the data and the goals that you're trying to achieve, because it is so easy to just feel like we're communicating a lot and like we're doing a good job, but it might just be adding noise to our customers and not achieving the results that we want. So I think that is probably one of the biggest mistakes that I see. And then, you know, something that you mentioned, Evan, where you, if you don't have coordination between all of these communications or these cadences, it can be overwhelming for your customers. So you want to make sure that it's the right level of frequency, that it varies in terms of channel, and that it's value added to your customer too. Because, you know, if you're adding value when you do communicate, that's going to be much more welcomed than things that are just communications for no purpose.
Totally. Well, Sarah, any final thoughts, tips, or tricks that you want to leave folks with to summarize?
I would encourage folks to think about this journey as a pipeline in a way. I mean, you want to deliver a great experience, but at the end of the day, you're trying to secure these customers for a long term. And how do you leverage teams like marketing that are just great because they're a one-to-many type of environment to identify spots in your journey where you can automate and build enticement across your clients to do more with you? I think it's a great partnership when done right, customer success and marketing, so that individuals don't have to do everything one-to-one. It can really be a tool in your tool belt as you try to scale your organization so that you're doing more than you were in the early days.
Great. Well, Sarah, we've covered a ton of ground. I've certainly learned a lot. So thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, Evan.
And that's our show. If you liked this episode and want to hear more, subscribe to the Bowery Capital Startup Sales Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. We'll see you next week.